The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
We have been learning the Parashas of the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Gulas Mitzrayim. The enslavement in Egypt and the redemption from Egypt. That's Parshas Shemais Va'era, this week's Parshas Bay, and the following week's Parshas B'Shalach. And this was the great Yetzias Mitzrayim, the great redemption from Egypt, and the Gula Rishayna, the first redemption that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for his nation, and from here they went to Har Sinai, to be mekabel the Torah, to receive the Torah. And although there were a number of people who featured in this, there's no doubt that the one who featured the most was Moshe Rabbeinu. There were actually three Goali. It's brought Moshe and Aaron and Miriam. But the chief redeemer was Moshe Rabbeinu. And this person, Moshe, he was the one who HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to, who stood before Paray, who was the mightiest king of the mightiest empire of the time, and who executed all of the wonders and the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to do before Paray and Mitzrayim. Before Israel. And from there he led the people out of Egypt to Har Sinai to bring the Torah into the world, to teach Torah to Klal Israel. And he led this nation and sustained them for 40 years in the desert and brought them to the Gvulim, to the boundaries of Eretz Israel. And he was known not only as our greatest leader, but also as our greatest prophet. As the Torah testifies to all of this in the last psukim of the Sefer Torah, which states, "V'lekom novi od b'Yisrael kimoshe." There will be never a prophet that will equal the stature of Moshe, Asher Yadoa Hashem Ponim Al Ponim, who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face. All of the other prophets, this was through a dream, through a vision, through a thought. Moshe was able to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any time and have a two-way conversation, just like a person does to his friend. Who executed all of the signs and the wonders which Hashem sent him into Egypt to do, in the presence of Paray and all of his servants and all of his land. And to all of the strong hand, Ulacholameira Agodl, and the great fear and terror, Asher Osa Moshe Leinei Kol Yisrael, which Moshe executed in Egypt in the presence of Yisrael. The fact is, the entire Sefer Torah is Nevuas Moshe, is the prophecy of Moshe, and therefore, when Moshe dies, the Sefer Torah ends. Now the Medrash tells us in Parshas Shemos, Perek Beis, Os Dalad. It's going on the Posuk in Shmeis Gimel, Posuk Aleph. This is in Parsha Shemos, the first Parsha of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the Shibur. U'moshe ha'yarei atzon Yisrei chesnei kahen midjom. Moshe was a shepherd of the sheep of Yisro. He had fled from Egypt because there he had killed an Egyptian who was afflicting a Jew, a Hebrew, and Parai wanted to kill him. And he came to the house of Yisro and Midjam. He married Tzipporah, Yisro's daughter, and he became a shepherd. And he brought the sheep into the desert. And he came to what was to become the mountain of Hashem, Chorev. This is Har Sinai. Now this pasuk is speaking right before Hashem comes to him in the burning bush. As the pasuk, the next pasuk states, "Va'yira malach Hashem elav balabas ish mitei hasneh," that the angel of Hashem appeared in a fire from the thorn bush. "Va'yar v'hineh hasneh b'ya b'ish v'hasneh in uko," and Moshe saw that the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. And here it speaks that Moshe said, "Asura no v'yere esamara agor laseh." Let me go see this great wonder. Why isn't the thicket bush being consumed? And Hashem saw that he was turning to come and see. And Hashem called to him from the bush. This was the first time when Hashem came to Moshe to speak to him. This was the first of this enormously great connection. And it was at this time that Hashem appointed Moshe and charged him with the task of going to Parai and to Egypt and to demand that he should let my nation go free. Now the Medrash tells us that it states who Moshe hoyareya eson Yisrael, and Moshe was a shepherd for the sheep of Yisrael. The Medrash in Shmos Parshas Beis Os Dalet, kol mi shekosev bei hoyo mesukan lakach. Wherever it uses this terminology that so and so hoyo was, this means that from the earliest birth or creation of this person, Mesukin Lakach, he was already predestined with all of the capabilities for a specific task. For example, Hanocha Shoya Orum, it states by the creation of the world that the serpent was the shrewdest and most cunning of all of the animals. Mesukin leparainisoyo. He was already predestined to bring paranias, to bring great affliction, great problems to the world. By Nayach it states, Tomim hoyo. Noach ish sadik, Tomim hoyo bidei reisov. It uses the word there also, hoyo. Mesukin lehatzola. He was already predestined for Hatzolah, to be a great savior. And it happened, he saved the world. B'Yosef Ksiv, B'Yosef Hoyo, Mesukin Lepanoso. He was predestined to be a great Mefanes, to be a person who could sustain. And he ended up sustaining the whole world during the famine. Mordechai Ksiv, Ish Yehudi Hoyo, by Mordechai in the Purim Megillah, Megillah Esther. It states, "Ish Yehudi Hoya, he was a man from Yehuda. Misukin laHatzola, he was predestined for Hatzola to save something great, and he saved all of Israel from Haman." The same it states by Moshe. Moshe Hoya. What was he misukin? What was he predestined for? Legu'ula. He was predestined. He was given at the earliest stage of his life the capabilities to become a great redeemer. And the Maral writes in the Gvuras Hashem, that just like we see, for example, man was created with all of the capabilities necessary to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a behema, an animal, was created with all of the talents and skills to serve man, the ox, the horse, the donkey, and the tzemach, the growth of the earth, was created with all of the capabilities to feed the balei chayim, to feed the animals. The animals graze from this. So were certain people created with the capabilities for specific tasks. Some letov, some lera, some for good, some for evil. And Moshe was predestined to become this great goel, this great redeemer. Now, naturally, it's still dependent on Bechira. Everyone is given free choice. Everyone is given different skills and different talents. What he does with these skills and talents is his concern, it's his business. He can do what he wants. He can use them for good. He can use them for evil. He cannot use them at all. But people are created this way. And Moshe specifically was created for Geula. And we see this further in Shmos Beis. It states, "Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi." There was a man who was from the house of Levi. This refers to Amram. Amram was the son of Kohos, who was the son of Levi. And he took a daughter from Levi. This was Yocheved, who was the daughter of Levi. And this, the Medrash tells us what was going on here. Actually, Amram was married to Yocheved. But when Parai made a Gzeira decree that all of the male children should be killed, so then he separated himself from her. He said, "Why should we continue to have children, only that they should be killed?" And meanwhile, he had a daughter, Miriam, and Miriam came, and she had a prophecy that from her parents would be born the Gael, the Redeemer. So she went to her parents, and she told them, "Koshik zeir askem, ikzeir espare. Your decree is more harsh than Parai, because he only decreed to kill the male children. You, by separating yourselves, are not bringing into the world male or female children." So he listened, Amram, and he went and he took back Yocheved. Yocheved at that time was 130 years old when it states a miracle happened, and she's called a bas, a daughter, Chozrel den Arusa. She returned to her youth, Vataro Isha, and she conceived, Vatelet Bain, and she gave birth to a son. Vatere Seki Tofu, and they saw that he was good. Vatitzmeneu Shleshir Ochim, and they concealed him for 3 months. This was as long as they could. Now, what does it mean, Vatere Osoki Tov, they saw that he was good? Again, the Medrash Rabbah brings on this. This is in Parsha Aleph, Perachov Dalet. Vatira ishe ki tov. Tani Rameir. Rameir learns Tev Shemai. That this is the name they gave him. See, actually, the name Moshe is not the name his parents gave him. That's the name the daughter of Paroi gave him, as it states in the Torah, when she saw him in a basket in the Nile River. The name that the parents gave him, Rameir says, was Tev Shemai. Tov means good. Matere say ki tov. They saw that he was good, so they called him good. Rabbi Yeshia imar Tovia Shemai. Tuvia. Rabbi Yeshia said, no, his name was Tuvia. What is the difference between Tuvia and Tov? On Tuvia, there's an addition of the Yud and the Hey. That's Hashem's name. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hogun l'nevius. They saw that this was someone that can become a great prophet. Acherim ha'imrim, shenei likishu mo'ul. What does it mean? They saw that he was good. They saw that when he was born, he was already circumcised. Rabbonan amri, the Rabbonan say, b'sho shenei lid Moshe, nishmale kol abayis kula era. That when Moshe was born, the entire house was filled with light. Just like it states, when Hashem created the world, he created the light, and he saw it was good. Here also it refers to that type of light, and he saw it was good. There are five opinions. One says that Tov, good, was his name. The other one says Tov Tuvia Shemai. His name was Tuvia. That's Tov with a Yud and a Hey, Hashem's name. Rabbi Yehuda says Hogun l'Nevius. They saw that he was someone who could become a great prophet. Acherim say he was born when he was circumcised, and Rabbonim say that when he was born, the entire house was filled with a goodness of light. Manab brings in the Gvuras Hashem Perek Yud Zayin that each one is being masif, is adding a new level. The first opinion, Rameir, Tov Shemai, that he was good when he was born, that they saw that his essence was that of goodness. And good is a very, very great identification, because it states when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Bayar Hashem Ki Tov, he keeps saying that what he created was good. This is Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and he says Tuvia Shema. No, it denotes even something greater. Not this, that it's just an essence of good, but it's an essence of good that creates a bond with Hashem. So that's even a higher level of goodness. And therefore his name was Tov Ko. Tov with the addition of Hashem's name. Rabbi Yeshia comes along, that was Rabbi Yeshia, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, Hogun l'Nevius. This is someone that could be a prophet. This is a higher level. Not only does he have a bond, a connection with Hashem, but a prophet is someone that the Shekhinah dwelled with the person, and the Shekhinah spoke with him. The fourth opinion, Acherim say that he was born circumcised. What does this denote? All of the creations in this world, they're a mixture of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. They're a mixture of the upper worlds and the lower worlds. Where do we see this? Because it states when Hashem created man, he created him from the dust of the earth, that's the lower world, and he blew into him a living soul from himself. So since everyone is created also from the lower worlds, and the lower worlds are not perfect, they are lacking. And the illustration that we have that they are not perfect, because they can be a little short, a little too much. And this we find in the midst of Bris Mila, that a person is born with something that it's a mitzvah to remove. The fact that Moshe was born already marveled, already circumcised, shows that this shortcoming, where he would have such a strong attachment to the lower worlds, did not exist by him. This was even a higher level. And then the Rabbonim come along and say, the Tov denotes that Nismale Kol HaBayis Kula Be'or, that the entire house was filled with light. Light always denotes something which is non-physical, because what we have in this world, which we can see, but has the least element of the physical world in it, is the light. And the fact is that generally the light is an antithesis to that what's physical, to matter. Because where you find there's more matter, then there's less light. For example, if you go into the earth, into the dust of the earth, into the dirt of the earth, where there you have a great deal of physical matter, there is no light. The higher you go in the atmosphere, the more clear the light is. And this is why when we describe Torah or mitzvahs, we describe it with the illustration of light, because Torah and mitzvahs come from another world, which is beyond the physical world. Torah is called Or, mitzvahs is called the Ner, a light and a candle. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu we describe with light, as it states, Hashem Ori V'Ishi Dovra Melech, refer to Hashem as Ori, my light. And the reason why we, the lower world, or we that live here, cannot identify in totality with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's the Mechitza Cheshech, there are great barriers of darkness between us. The darkness denotes that which is heavy, that which is matter. The fact that by Moshe, when he was born, the house became full of light, this denotes that Moshe was far detached from this world, and he was able to attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a level far beyond everyone else. And this is why it states that Kol HaNevi'im LeNisnabnu Elabas Baklaria DeLeMeiro. All of the prophets, when they would see a prophecy, it would be looking like looking through a glass which was not clear. Moshe Bas Baklaria de Meiro. Moshe's prophecy was crystal clear. There was nothing blocking it. And that, the Maral says, is the pshat, is the meaning of the pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Va'eiro. Beginning of Parshas Va'eiro, it states, Va'eiro, Hashem says to Moshe, Va'eiro el Avraham, el Yitzchok, el Yaakov, v'kel shadoi, u'shmi Hashem le'nidati lohem. I appear to Avraham and to Yitzchok and Yaakov, and I reveal to them one of my names. But the Shmi Hashem, but my full name, Leinedati Lohem, I did not make that known to them. In other words, only to you Were you able to understand? Were you able to attach yourself to my full name? So, we have now a insight as to what Moshe Rabbeinu was, even when he was born. Now, all of this is contrary to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Total antithesis, because they were a people who were sunk into the epitome of the physical world, detached from anything that was non-physical, detached from anything that was beyond, that was spiritual. And they had a life of darkness, a life of ugliness, a life that was devoid of light, of brightness, of beauty, just contrary to goodness and light. And therefore, they were on the opposite pole from Israel and certainly from Moshe. And that's why the prophet said on Mitzrayim, Besorim kibsar chamorim, bezarim kizera susim. They are like animals. Now this is what an animal is. See, the animal has far greater an element of physical matter in him and far less spiritual in him than man. This is not a criticism on an animal, because this is how Hashem created him and this is how Hashem wanted him. But when man becomes that way, this is a great criticism on him. And that's what the Novi pointed his finger at Egypt. He says they have become Sorim Kipsar Chamorim. The flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Bezera Kizera, Zarim Kizera Susim. And their seed is like the seed of horses. And this is why we find Egypt was Shekuim. They had totally sunk themselves into Aveda Zora, all types of strange idolatries, strange ideologies, strange beliefs. Sfiras Domin, life was nothing to them. Gilarais, incest and adultery. Kishuf, sorcery, witchcraft. Tuma, all types of impurities. And all types of deviations and deprivations. Gemara brings Sifri, the Rambam quotes it, Ish Neise Ish, Isho Nisas Li Isho. This was common in Egypt. One man married to another man, a woman married to a woman. The fact is, it states in the Torah, in Parshas Achrei Meis and Kedoshim, where Klal Yisrael was commanded on all of the forbidden unions, who we may marry, who we may not marry. So it states there, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim Leisasu. You shall not commit incest or adultery and so forth, because these were the acts of Egypt. This is why it states in the pasuk that we just quoted, "Vayelech ish mibeis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi," that the father and the mother of Moshe was Levi. Excuse me, was Amram, who was the grandson of Levi, and was Yocheved, who was the daughter of Levi. Amram was the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Why was Moshe born specifically from these two? Because Moshe was destined to come from the tribe of Levi. And we find also Aaron and Miriam. And the reason for this is, the Maral explains in Vuras Hashem Perek Tezayin, is because Ein Chobush Matias Atzmai. Someone who is a captive, or is a total captive, he cannot free himself. Someone who is a slave cannot free himself. He needs an external force to free himself. So Klal Yisrael, who were instead such a strong shibud, under such strong captivity, they were in Mitzrayim for 210 years. By such a powerful nation, they needed an external force to come and free themselves. They could not have slaves come to free themselves. Moshe since Moshe his power was that contrary of Egypt, because they represented the lowest physical forces and he represented the highest spiritual forces. He was the one who was capable of ruling over Egypt, of coming to break Egypt and to free Israel. And therefore he came from the he was born from the Shevet Levi, who also with that level of Kedusha, of sanctity, and they themselves were free. And because of this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had manipulated that Levi was never Bechlal HaShibut. The Shevet Levi was never enslaved by Egypt. We see that Moshe and Aaron were coming and going as they pleased. And Pare never told them, why don't you take these people and put them in shackles and make them work like the others? Because they were from the tribe of Levi. And the tribe of Levi was not enslaved. And this happened because this was an edict from Yosef yet. When he placed a tax on everyone and he bought up the whole nation, he always excused the clergy. Levi was a separate tribe from Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were never enslaved. So Moshe, who was totally, firstly, was totally opposite. He had to be opposite of Mitzrayim in order to be able to rise up against them and destroy them. And therefore he had to come from such a force who were free themselves. And therefore he was born from the house of Levi. But there's greater depth in this. Because we find that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the spiritual is stronger than the physical. Where do we see that? For example, you take a behemoth and an odom, a man and an animal. Who rules? See? The man rules the animal doesn't rule the man. The spiritual is stronger than the physical. And this is in man himself. Man was given physical powers and he was given spiritual powers. The spirit has the power to rule the physical. Sometimes men lack the intelligence. They don't want to use their intelligence. And they become submitted to their physical powers. Right? And then they end up off the rails. This is where you have people who are alcoholics or drug addicts or criminals or whatever it might be. But that is not the Seder HaBriya. That's not the order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. The spirit has the power to be Meishel, to be the king over the physical. Just like man has the power, was given the power to be king over the beast. Now, the Madrega, the level of the Shevet Levi, he also
they also were the spirit of Klal Yisrael. Levi was always miyuchad. The Rambam writes that in the time of Yaakov already, Yaakov saw Levi, his third son, had an extra dimension of kedusha, of sanctity. The Hivdil Levi, and he already, this was before the Kahanim, long before they were chosen to be Kahanim, he separated Levi and commanded all of the other sons always see that Levi and his children will be free for the study and the teaching of the Torah and the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. And when it came to the Egel Azov, the golden calf, Levi never participated. When it came to the Chet of the Maraglim, the spies, Levi never participated. Fact is, the Rambam writes, Mi olam le'ovad Levi avedizor. Levi and his family never served idolatry. And later they were to be chosen that from him would come the Levim and the Kahanim that would be moved or separated, never to be counted together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, because they represented the ultimate and the spiritual force behind Klal Yisrael. It was for this reason also that Levi was the third son. And it's interesting to note that Mesha also was the third. First was Miriam, then Aaron, and then Mesha. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos, there's a special significance with the third. And we find in Klal Yisrael, and so forth. But therefore, Levi was a level that was far above Egypt. And therefore it was befitting that Moshe should come from them if he was going to be the one that wouldn't be enslaved or ruled by Egypt, but rather he would rule Egypt. It's also interesting to note that it states in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, Vayomos Yosef v'chol echov v'chol adorahu v'yokom melech chodosh. Yosef died, and all of his brothers and the generation, and then a new king grows up, and he said, Hova nishak maloi, let us start to enslave Israel. So the sages say that the Shibu, this enslavement, only started after Yosef died and all of the brothers died. And the sages say that Levi Herik Shono Shonim Yesem Mikulam. Levi was the one who lived the longest. So it was only after the death of Levi did the entire enslavement start. But even then, it didn't affect to that degree his Shevet. And this is also why it states, the Medrash tells us, and the Poshuk, after the Moshe was born, and the Poshuk in Shmais Beis, Poshuk Hey, so it states they couldn't hide him anymore, and they put him in a basket, and they put him into the river, and Miriam stood by to see what is going to become of him. Actually, the sages say that Miriam's father was angry at her. He said, what happened to your prophecy? You prophesied that there would be a great Redeemer born. So she stood by to see what will happen to her prophecy. And the daughter of Pare went to bathe on the river. And her maid servants went with her to the river. And she saw the basket in the reeds. And she put out her arm and she took it. And they opened it and they saw that it was a little boy and he was weeping. And Vatachmalalob, she had compassion on it. She said, this is from the Hebrew children. Now the Medrash tells us on this posuk, this is in Perek Aleph, Os Lamed Beis. No, excuse me. This is in Parsha Beis Os Hey. Still wrong. It's Parsha Aleph Os Chof Zayin. She went to bathe in the river Lirchaitz Miglule Beis Aviha. She was going to wash herself off from the sins of her father's house. This means that she had decided that she didn't want anything else to do with all of the decrees of her father. That this, that he was enslaving the Hebrews and he was afflicting them, and he had decreed that all of their children, the male children, should be killed. This she disassociated herself with. Lirchaitz ala yor, lirchaitz miglule beis aviha. To cleanse herself from the sins of her father. And the maid servants were going with her. Omer B'yechanan. B'yechanan said that the maid servants had objected to her. Omru la givyotenu. They said, our mistress. The custom of the world is, if a king makes decrees, even if the entire world refuses to listen to his decrees, but at least his children and his household listen. And you are going to transgress the mitzvahs of your father. So they tried to stand up against her. But she wouldn't listen. She wouldn't listen to them. They did not want to save the child. She wouldn't listen. At this time, she had done tshuva. And she saved Moshe. Now, on this, the Maral writes, this was not the mikra. This was not just a coincidence. It had to be this way. Why? Firstly, Megalglin Shusali de Zakai. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he's got a good job to be done, he gives it to a good person. When he's got some dirty work to be done, he looks for a person who's good for that. That's what it brings in by the Churban Beis Hamikdosh. It was Nero, I believe it was with. That he was a general, and he foresaw Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted the Beis Hamikdash destroyed, and he was looking for a scapegoat to do the dirty work for him, so he ran away. So Kodesh Baruch Hu would not give such a mitzvah to save Moshe Rabbeinu, who was to become the redeemer of the world, to a woman who is an idolatrous woman, who is an evil woman. Harbe shluchim lamokum. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't run out of ideas. He can find someone else to do the job. So it had to be this way. But even more so, the Maral says, it cannot be that when you have two forces totally against each other, that one should save the other. They work against each other. Can't be that an Egyptian should save Moshe. But Moshe and Egypt were totally contrary forces to each other. So therefore it had to be this way. She no longer was an Egyptian. She washed her hands from the whole business. Therefore she was capable of saving Moshe. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her the opportunity. And she did. Now, even though Moshe was born with all of these capabilities, this was not something that happens by itself. He had to develop these capabilities and his talents, like any skill and talent. He had to grow. He had to become great in his own right. And he had to be tested. But Baruch Hu does not give over tasks to people and opportunities to people without testing them first. It states what we read before, Umoshe Hoyereyat Son, Yisrei Chosno. Moshe was the shepherd of the sheep of Yisrei. Vayar Hashem, and when he saw the burning bush, Vayar Hashem Kisol Diresh, Hashem saw that Moshe was turning to come and see this thicket bush that was burning. Vayikra Elov Moshe, and he called Moshe. In simple sense, it means that he saw him turning towards the bush, and Hashem called Moshe, Moshe. But the Chazal make a drosh on this. There has to be, if this is the first moment of this chibur, of this relationship between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that from here worlds would be built, there has to be some remes, somewhere indicated as to why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Moshe for this task. And the Chazal Darshan, and this is in Medrash Rabba Perek Aleph Os Lamed Beis, it states that when Moshe was taken into the palace by Bas Pare, the daughter of Pare, and she brought him up as a son. And then he grew up to become nobility, an aristocrat. He was like the son of the king, and he lived in a mighty palace. By Yigdal Mesha, he became 20 years old. Vayetze el Echov, and he went out to his brethren. Vayar b'sivlosam, and he saw their burdens and affliction. Mahu vayar, what does it mean he saw? Shohayarei b'sivlosam ubeicha, he saw their burdens and affliction, and he wept. Vayemeh chavali aleichem, Miyitein Musi Alechem. He says, I am broken because what I see they are doing. She'in lecho melocha koshim leches atit. This that they were working with mortar and lime, this is the most difficult type of labor. And Moshe became broken from it. V'yoneisin k'seifov u'mesai lecho lechot v'echot mehem. And he leaned his shoulder forward and he would help each one of them. He saw a heavy burden on a small person and he saw a small burden on a big person. He saw a woman's burden on a man and a man's burden on a woman. A burden for an old man on a young lad and vice versa. And he had a scepter and he would put that aside. And he went, and he would help all of them with their burdens. And he made it look as if he was helping Parai, because this was dangerous. Actually, he did more also. It states that he went to Parai. He saw they had no manucha, they had no rest, and he said to Parai, "Mishyesh le'eved emeina neach yemechad b'shvul meis." He says, "If you have a slave and you never give him off a day off during the week, he'll die. You won't get productivity out of him." So Parai said, "Vila avadecho imenato meneach lem yemechad b'shvul meisim." And this is what's going to happen to all of your Hebrew slaves. So Paro gave some thought, and he said, "Yes, it's a good idea." He says, "All right, you go organize it." So Meshe went, and he organized that they should have Shabbos off. That's why it states, we say in the davening to Mincha Shabbos, Yismach Meshe b'matnas kelke, that Meshe rejoices in his matona because he is the one who organized Shabbos for Klal Yisrael before Shabbos was given. Now, it states here, Vayar b'siblosam, he saw their burdens. But he saw more than their burdens. He saw their suffering, and he identified with their suffering, and he did something about it. Even though he didn't have to, he was in the luxury of world. He was an aristocrat, the son of a king. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now hereby the Busher also says, Vayar Hashem, Hashem saw. She saw Lira, he said, he's turning to come to see the bush. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ato inachto asokecho, valachto Lira is bitzaren shi Yisrael, v'nahakto behen minagachim. You, from your palace, you looked down and you saw their burdens, and you went, and you helped them with it. Like a brother, I also then will come down from my greatest abodes into the lowly thorn bush, which is the most insignificant bush of all, and I will speak to you. Though deceived, this is what is written, Vayar Hashem Kisor Lirais. Hashem saw what he had seen. He saw him look, and that he was turning to see, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to speak with him. So this was one test. Further we see that right before the burning bush, it states, U'meisho hoya reyetzon Yisrei chesnei achramidbor, that Moshe was the shepherd of the sheep of his father-in-law Yisrael in the desert. The Medrash here says, this is a Medrash also in Perek Beis, Os Gimel. Shlema Melech, King Solomon said in Mishle, Lamed, Kol Imras Eleikai Tzrufa, all of the words of Hashem, all of his mitzvahs and all of the words are Tzrufa, they are perfect. That means that he refines them and refines them until they are perfect. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neisen Gedula La'odam Ad Shebeit Keu B'dvar Kotten Va'ahakach Ma'aleh L'Gedula. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to choose a person for a great task, a task of leadership, some type of task is this, he doesn't right away give him the position. He first is beiched him, he gives him a bechina, he tests him to see if he's fit for the task. And when he does test him, he tests him not necessarily with a davar gadol, with a great responsibility, but to see how he deals with so-called little responsibilities. Now this is very important. Here we see how Kodesh Baruch Hu relates to us. And also we can learn from here management. You have people working for you. You don't give them a position and try them out. Kodesh Baruch Hu first tries them out and then gives them the position. And how does he try them out? Many people I've heard, they said, why did you choose that person for the promotion? Why didn't you give it to me? Because I could have done as good a job as he did. You never gave me such big responsibilities. I would have done the same thing. So the boss will say, well, look, you showed up. What time did you start work? 8 o'clock. You showed up 8 o'clock. He came at 7:30. What time did you finish work? 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock you were out of here. He was out of here only at 6 o'clock. So say, well, look, you never told me to come earlier, you never told me to leave later. If you would have given me what to do, I would have done it. Now, see, you see the greatness from the way they deal with the little things. And then you can raise them up, give them the promotion, and they will handle the big things. If someone can't deal with the little things without him being shown that this is part of his job and he wants to be paid for it, you want me to come 15 minutes earlier, you're going to have to pay me for it. See? All right, you're good in the position that you have, but not more. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aleh L'Gdula. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not give someone important tasks to do, achiv tekuah, till he tests him. Doesn't give him the position and then find out he's no good for it. He's tested beforehand. I still don't guarantee he's going to succeed because it's left up to his free choice, but it means that there's a good chance. And he's capable. And what does he test him with? Things that we think are not important. The little things. So-called little things. And when he passes that, then he says, you're the man for the position and I give you the job. The fact that it states in Moshe, well, what is the Torah telling us? And Moshe was a shepherd with the sheep, and then which was with something which was very insignificant. And then all of a sudden it comes to tell us the most significant thing in the Torah. The beginning of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu that the whole Torah is built on. So there must be some connection. So the Medrash says, "Kol imras elekai tzrufa." What Kodesh Baruch Hu does is perfect with perfection. Harei lechosh negidei la'olam. There were two great people in the world, two great leaders. Shakodesh Baruch Hu botken b'dover kotten, and Kodesh Baruch Hu tested them with so-called small things. And he found that with this they were faithful. Then he gave them the great responsibilities. Barak le David b'tzayin. David Amelach, he tested with sheep. When David came to watch the fighting that was going on between Israel and Goliath the giant, his brother scolded him and said, who did you leave the sheep with that are in the desert? What are the sheep doing in the desert? The desert doesn't have such good grazing lands. The Mishnah says that you got to be very careful not to bring your sheep close to other people's grazing lands. And therefore David took them way out. Many people would say, look, this is not that important. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that, he says, this is a sign of a great person. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza ato neman betzon bo urei tzeini. You are faithful with the sheep, come and you will be my shepherd. Another medrash, which is a little above this, states that also he tested David with sheep. How? It states Hashem Tzadik Yivcham. Kodesh Baruch Hu tests the righteous. not interested in the others. He saw David was doing something very strange. When he would bring his sheep to grazing ground, he would first hold back all of the sheep except the youngest, and he would let them go graze first so they could find soft grass to eat. After they were finished eating, then he would let the old sheep go, the Zakenim. They would find the medium grass because the soft grass was already consumed. And then, only after they went, then he would let the Bachurim, the strong young sheep, go, and they would eat the Esev HaKosher. They would eat the tough grass. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, if you're so careful with sheep, now I know you're the one to be my shepherd. Now, what about Mesha? So the Medrash brings, V'chein b'Mesha, V'ayina gesein achar amidbor. Firstly, that he had the sheep near the desert because he didn't want them to graze in anyone else's lands. So he was very careful. Then it states that Borach Mimed Gdi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that a young goat had run away, and Moshe ran after him. He ran a long way till he caught him, and there was a brook of water, and Moshe and the Gdi went and drank water. When Moshe came there, he said, "Ani lo ha'isi yodea sherotza yisabim neitzomei. I didn't know you ran away because you were so thirsty. Drink, and oyefato, now you must be very tired." He put him on his shoulders and he carried him back. He says, if this is how you take care of little things, of sheep, then I know you're capable of taking care of my sheep. And these are the reasons why it states, Moshe Hoya Reyetzon, he was the shepherd, Achar HaMidbor, near the desert, and then he saw a bush burning, Vayar Hashem Kiso Lireis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, what did he see? Where it states, Moshe Vayar, Moshe saw, Esivleis, Sivleiseyam, he saw the burdens of his brothers, so Lirais, he said, you have turned to see the burdens of your brethren, and you came out of your lofty palace. I also will come out of my lofty palace to speak with you in the lowest bush, and to appoint you to be the manhig, to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. And it states, Hashem Tzadik Yivcham. The Maral writes, why does he test him? Kodesh Baruch Hu can foresee futures. What does he have to test? Because he needs someone that's real, not potential. He needs a righteous person who has real righteousness, not merely potential righteousness. Because he wants a leader that will be real, not just potential. He gives him opportunities to bring these powers into the real world. And if he does, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Maleh Aligdula. He raises him up. So these are a number of insights into Moshe Rabbeinu, our great leader, and who was predestined to become the great redeemer of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, and to execute all of the Eses U'Mefsim, the wonders and the miracles before Parai in Egypt, La'ene Yisrael, and the presence of Klal Yisrael, and from there to lead us to Har Sinai.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. at ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.